Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app. We're talking about in and everything here in New York City. You can listen to us on the go. I want to thank all of my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. We're dropping some nuggets that will help you live the best life you can live. This show is sponsored by Rashad Detail, CEO Terry Ingram Sr., Have Wheels Will Clean. Today I'm going to bring you a subject that's really, really dear to my heart. As you know, I'm a prison advocate for inmates, and so while we're in this pandemic and this voting election season, I just wanted to find out, are they letting inmates vote? So, of course, I told you, education is key. That gives you power. So I went to research that question, are inmates voting while they are incarcerated? So that's what I'm going to be talking about. I just wanted to read this article for you because I was really shocked, and I know you'll probably be shocked, but let me tell you, these people are still citizens of this country. Even though their rights are taken away, they still do have some constitutional rights. So I'm glad at least two of the states in the U.S. has realized that they do have the right to vote. So let me read you this article. It was written back in June 2019. The title of the article is, in just two states, all prisoners can vote. Here's why a few do. Now, I've been going into prisons for 44 years, and I can guarantee you this is the reason why inmates do not vote. Now, when Senator Bernie Sanders championed voting rights for prisoners during a CNN town hall, he spotlighted an intensifying national debate about why go to prison means losing the right to vote. I agree with him because these people are still citizens of the United States. In only two states, now listen, if you live in these two states and you have a person incarcerated, please, please tell them to vote. This is a crucial election. And the two states are Maine and Vermont. Now, all prisoners are eligible to vote in these two states. However, some prisoners in Mississippi, Alaska, and Alabama can vote while incarcerated depending on their convictions. Sounds like a little discrimination going on to me. What do you think? Sanders is the sole presidential candidate to support the idea of prisoners voting regardless of their crimes. His stance may reflect the reality that his home state of Vermont, there you go, he made sure his prisoners voted, okay? And his neighbor, Maine, have long established procedures and general public acceptance of people voting from behind bars. Vermont and Maine, these are the two states that allow inmates to vote while incarcerated, regardless of their crime. Now, the Corrections Department don't track literacy rate among prisoners, but in Vermont, officials estimate nearly 20% of inmates enter prison with less than a high school education. And let me tell y'all something. I have witnessed inmates in prison sit there and do not take advantage of these opportunities. They know they can't read and write, but yet they won't go to school and get a GED to prepare themselves when they return to society. Some studies estimate nearly 60% of people in prison are illiterate. I'm going to go and say I feel about 80, because the prison system has increased since 2018. So I would go as far as to say 80% of the prisoners are illiterate. Despite volunteer efforts to engage incarcerated voters, many inmates in Vermont don't seem particularly interested, said Madeline Mata, who helped register Vermont prisoners in 2018. Mata says some of the inmates were surprised to find they could even vote, assuming their felony conviction was an automatic disqualifier. Others were more cynical and expressed a general distrust of anyone seeking public office. A handful felt as if there was no point. Mata and other volunteers tried to explain the benefits of voting during registration drives. We explained to inmates that elective officials are making decisions about the quality of life while you are incarcerated and once you are out, she said. Mata estimated several dozen men registered to vote between the two prisons she visited, which roughly houses 500 prisoners. Other volunteers have already registered some inmates, so even her count was inaccurate. In Maine, Jackson estimated the NAACP registered more than 200 voters last year, but he couldn't say how many actually voted. Between the 2018 midterms, Cassie Tibbett traveled to five of Vermont's prison registering voters. Tibbett ran the legal center at the Vermont Law School. She said she heard very little political chatter during her visits, but a handful of prisoners were buzzing over a state attorney race in Bennington. Tibbett recognizes that a lot of access to information may be partly to blame. Inmates can't go online to research candidates. Many watch television and listen to the radio, but may not tune into the news. They don't know enough about the candidates, so why would they vote, she asked. Voters' disaffection is hardly unique to prisoners, said Paul Wright, executive director of Prison Legal News. 61% of all eligible voters cast a ballot in the 2016 president election and in the 2018 midterms, usually a time of lower turnout. That number dropped to 49%, according to Peer Charitable Trust. Wright suspects that some of the apathy about voting stems from the relatively few candidates with track records on criminal justice that would appeal to incarcerated people, are those with rare memories of encounters with police and prosecutors. Now, at the local level, he pointed out, officials who play a major role in shaping criminal justice outcomes, such as sheriffs, judges, and prosecutors, often run unopposed or on tough-on-crime platforms. Progressive prosecutors are a relatively recent phenomenon. So like disaffected segments of the general electorate, inmates may believe their votes will make little difference. We don't have much of a democracy when it comes to a candidate choice, he said. Making the conscious choice and refraining from exercising your rights is just as important as exercising them. Now listen, it may be too late to get this campaign going for these inmates incarcerated this time. But in the next 4 years, I challenge you to contact your senators, your congressmen, your House of Representatives, and let's get these inmates voting. They have that right to vote because, like the article said, these people are making decisions on their lives while they're incarcerated, as well as when they transition back to society. These people are not thrown away. They're not thrown away. They're locked up for a minute. They will be returning back to society. So you might as well allow them to live some type of normalcy while they're incarcerated, so that will make their transition a lot smoother when they return to society. You can't lock up a person for 20 years and think he's going to come back into a world and be successful because of the changes that have occurred while he was incarcerated. That's just not going to happen. And that's why our prisons are overcrowded, because they can't make these people do anything. Of course, they're grown people. Some of them are juveniles. But they can't force them to do anything. But the correctional officers and the prison administrators that I've had the opportunity to encounter is that this is your job. Your job is not only to protect public safety. Your job is to help rehabilitate an individual so he will be a successful candidate when he returns to society. But since prison is a big business, I call it a modern-day slavery, they're working for 50 cents and a dollar a day. Who can survive off of 50 cents or a dollar a day? Not in the world I'm in. And they definitely can't. It is truly, truly unbelievable the things that these inmates have to encounter. So prison staff and officials like, oh, why are they so angry? They're angry because they're grown people. Yes, they committed a crime, but that doesn't mean that they have to be treated as an animal, not even identified as a human. They're identified as a number. Now, how would you feel if you were in that situation, being on your job as then identified as a number and not as a person? Would you want to work for an employee that would do that? I know in my job I have an employee number, but I am not identified by that number. That number only identifies me as an employee of that company. I am treated as a person, not someone that has a number and has no say-so in what goes on with the company I'm employed by. So again, I challenge you, let's start right now. NAACP, Al Sharpton, National Action Network, ACLU, let's get to our representatives. We're the one that put them in office, and we're the one that can take them out. So whatever we desire or request of them to do, they shouldn't be able to say no, whether they agree with it or not. If we're bringing you a request, we put you in office, and we definitely can take you out. In the next couple of days, that should come to evidence. Okay? So start right now contacting these people. Let's get, so the next 4 years, if whoever runs president this time, if they're not taking the interests of the American people at heart, then we will have enough people to get them out. Because America is the land of the free. And we should be able to have representatives in office that will satisfy what America wants. Not that they have a personal agenda, Everything political is corrupt, in my opinion. Lawyers, judges, prosecutors. I have, like I said, over 44 years, I've seen people, innocent, die in prison for a crime that they did not commit. I've seen the racism in prisons in the South. Whereas a black man gets 2 to 3 times harsher sentence than a Caucasian. And you know the strangest thing? When I was working for the Department of Corrections, I'm like, look, of course by the Mexicans integrating into the U.S., you have a population of them going to prison as well. But at the time that I was there for 3 years, I think I saw one Asian person incarcerated. So I'm like, okay, so they don't commit crimes? How can they live without committing crimes? Whites, blacks, Mexicans, Hispanics, these are the people that's locked up around this country. Everybody else are not locked up. So I really need to talk to them and see what they're doing, that they're not committing any crimes. Like the Asians, the Japanese, you don't see many of them in prison. So let's talk to them and find out what they're doing that they're not going to prison. Okay? So, again, I want to challenge you to get out there, you know, get these inmates registered to vote. I mean, they're humans. Some commit some bad crimes, but they're still human. And they should be treated as a human and not as something that's just thrown away. God didn't make trash. He made everybody that's incarcerated in this prison system. He made every one of us. And we're no better than that person that's locked up. It may not just haven't got to your time yet if you're still living. Okay? You don't know what your destiny holds. So you don't need to mistreat these people just because they made a bad decision. Because one day you might be in the same predicament that they're in. Then what are you going to do? What are you going to do about that? So let's go ahead, like I said, I'm challenging you. Let's go ahead next 4 years. I mean, start getting them registered now. So by the time the next 4 years is over, they'll be registered. And they can vote on who will have authority over their lives. Because like I said, they're going to be released back into this society. And they should be given this opportunity to vote while they are incarcerated. Do that challenge for me and watch. We can turn the world around. We have to stop this mass incarceration of our people, and we have to stop this modern-day slavery. Because that's all it is. From my history reading, slavery was abolished back in the 1800s. But prison is a modern-day slavery. And we have to stop that because it was abolished. Okay. Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, live from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Again, don't forget to go to Google Play and download the Bashani Radio app. We're live in New York City talking about in and everything. You can hear us on the go. This show is sponsored by Rashad Detail, Terry Ingram, Senior CEO, Have Wills Will Clean. And don't forget to go to Linda Monroe and order my book, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Was Not Supposed to Live. I have it in physical. I have it in a hard copy and paperback, as well as audio. So if you don't want to read, I will read it to you. Until next time, let's get on that challenge. Get out here and get to your representatives, and let's change this mass incarceration system around and put some people out of a job since they want to not do what they are hired to do. Take these nuggets and run with it. Again, I thank each and every one of my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. And until next time, be blessed. I love you, and God does too.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.